Welcome to an inspirational message recorded live at Little Falls Christian Center.
Hallelujah. When the year turned 2000, we were gathered in a stadium and we made a very big mistake that night. We sang, "Lord, send the rain." And the rain came. And this song brings back good memories, but also those memories. And I think this is a song for the Cape. Lord, send the rain. Can I get an amen? Give the Lord a praise offering. Praise God. You may be seated. Welcome, everybody's on live streaming. Well, this morning we're going to start off with a very important message. What do we have that Israel doesn't have? And I'm going to have you stand in a moment. I just want to read you something. In Romans chapter 8:37, it says, "Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And that word conquerors, the word in Strong's means above and over. And in other words, above and over, to conquer. That's what you do with your enemy. When David took the head of Goliath, he went and stood over him and he took his head. And that means how we, that's where the message of the devil is written, is under our shoes. And we need to get a revelation of this because we sometimes act just like the world, defeated. But I want you to get a meaning of this word. It's this word, it says here, describes one who is super victorious, who wins more than an ordinary victory, but who is overpowering in achieving abundant victory. This is not the language of conceit, but of confidence. Christ's love conquered death, and because of his love, we are victorious. We are more than conquerors. I want you all to stand, and I want you to make this powerful prayer confession, faith confession. Just stand up. Here we have. Go with me. Read with me. I have the power of the Holy Spirit. I have opened heavens through the blood of Jesus. I have overflowing grace that teaches me and empowers me. I have power in the blood of the Lamb. I have victory in the name of Jesus. I have a friend who sticks closer than a brother, and his name is Jesus. Carry on. I have a Father who never changes his mind. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have a Father who loves me and has sacrificed his Son's life for me. I have a Father who is the Alpha and the Omega, the Creator and the Restorer of all things. I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who has made me more than a conqueror. Carry on. I have authority to tramp on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. I am prosperous because I am a child of the Most High God and an heir together with his Son Jesus. I am seated in heavenly places where with the Lord. I am a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become brand new. I have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of me, giving me inexpressible joy, mountain-moving faith, and indescribable hope. I have a forgiven and a forgotten past, an ever-changing present, and a future filled with hope and God's promises, of which there are over 3,000 in the Bible. Do you receive that? Give the Lord a praise offering. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Well, this morning, Pastor Harold decided to take a break. So, he didn't think I needed one too, you know, I'm joking. He said, "You either help me out, we get Mark down," well, Mark's coming tonight, "and we're giving Pastor T and St. George a break." So, praise the Lord. This morning, we're going to get into something so powerful. What did Israel not have that we have? Why do we need to go through the wilderness journey, because the Bible says that we are to look at Israel as our example and what happened to them in the wilderness. If you think you're going to escape the wilderness or you have escaped the wilderness, some of us do stay there a lot longer than others because of one little thing called the flesh. And we're going to get a grip on that this morning. Jesus started his ministry after a 40-day fast in the wilderness. And we know what happened when the devil came and tempted him with bread. He tempted him in the three dimensions, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And we see there that when Satan came to him, he said to Satan, "You do not tempt the Lord your God." We know that he was taken to a high pinnacle of the temple. And he was told by the devil, "Throw yourself down, the angels will catch you." He wasn't wrong, because they would. But Jesus was not going to tempt the Lord. And the third thing he did, which is also very powerful, and people don't always realize that, Satan said, "Take a look at all these kingdoms. Satan will give it to you." Do you know it was Satan's to give? And Jesus said, "I am not going to do that, because you see, all the kingdoms of this world belong to our Lord Jesus, and he is taking them back slowly but surely." Everything God does has to be legal. And he knew the time was coming. Jesus knew the time was coming when there would be great deliverance. Moses had to spend 40 years in the wilderness preparing himself spiritually so that he could lead Israel for a further 40 years. Israel needed the wilderness because they had to get the slave mentality out of them. Folk, I know we don't like to hear this, but when we came out of Egypt, we also had a slave mentality. Everybody has it in a different form, but it is there. We know that Elijah, and he's one of my favorite Bible characters, he had to strengthen himself. He had this mighty victory on Mount Carmel. 800 priests of Baal and Ashtoreth were killed, and he had so much. You can just imagine the boldness of this man and running ahead of the chariots of Ahab. And when he discovers that one miserable woman called Jezebel was pursuing him, he ran like crazy into the wilderness. But God knew his heart. And that is such a beautiful example for us. It doesn't matter if we're scared or we're timid or we have fear. We just have to confess our faith and believe that because of Jesus, we are more than conquerors. From these testimonies, we can truly understand the significance of the wilderness experience. You may have had yours, maybe you're still in it, but either way, it serves to prepare you for the faith journey and for the major transformation, spiritual transformation that we are needing in our lives. Why do we need it? You will agree with me. We're living in a world of much chaos, in a world of much brokenness. This last 2 weeks, boy, everybody's been on the edge of their chairs. What's going to happen in the government? Because everything that happens there affects you and me. And you know what? We just had to pray. We had to believe. We had to trust God. How did we do that? Because of our faith. Now I want you just to hear for a moment, because Paul here is talking to the Church of Corinthians, and he's telling them about the wilderness experience and that that's their example. In 1 Corinthians 10:6, he says, "Now these things become our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as they were, some of them, as it is written, the people sat down, they ate, they drank, they rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell or died. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer." And he ends off with these words, "Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the age have come." I call the wilderness experience the journey of overcoming the flesh. I'm going to say something strange. We don't have a problem with the devil. we have a problem with ourselves. You see, the devil can do nothing to us except we allow him through the works of the flesh. So often, we blame the devil for things that we've got ourselves into. If he has no hold on us, he can do nothing to us. Why? Because Jesus has made us more than a conqueror. Can I get an amen? You know, I heard a brilliant story one day. This boxer comes back, and you've heard it. I've said it before. He comes home. He's all beaten up, and he's bloodied, and he's in a state, and his wife is lying there on the bench watching the TV, eating popcorn, and he takes his $1 million check, and he gives it to her. What has he effectively done? He's made her more than a conqueror. Jesus went to the cross. He took those lashes. He laid down his life. He wore the crown of thorns so that we could be more than conquerors. I said here, Moses, an adopted son, we know Jesus came against the devil. Jesus, the adopted son of Egypt, he knew he was a great man, but he also knew he was a Hebrew. And when he committed that murder, he forgot himself because pride of position took over. God had to send him into the wilderness to empty Moses so that he could fill Moses with the right kind of spirit. Now we know that the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was not within, as in the New Testament, it was upon. But Moses returned a very different man. We know that David spent 15 years running from his enemy Saul. Now, you know, what would you feel like? You're a young little boy, you'd be tending the sheep and your father calls you out. You're the last thought, you're the afterthought of your father. And he gets anointed as king of Israel. And he has this little boy growing up and he spends 15 years running in the wilderness. I want to tell you, he must have said, God, where are you? Have you forgotten that promise? But God was preparing David. God is preparing us. You see, we must understand this. We have to become what we already are when we quoted that confession, seated in heavenly places with Christ. And we're going to spend a lifetime getting there, because if I know of any man that is able to overcome the flesh, please introduce him to me. Because one thing I know, there was one man who was called the greatest Christian in the New Testament. His name was Apostle Paul, and he has the most to say about his flesh. And he battled all his life with it. So what makes us think that we won't? Paul's battle was with the Romans and the Galatians. We see it well with all of the books that he wrote, but he specifically brings out a lot of these truths in the book of Romans and in Galatians. And he says, yeah, you see, they had to learn to overcome what those things that were holding them back from receiving what the Lord wanted for them. And this is exactly where we are. He says in Romans chapter 8, verse 12, and I read out of the New Living Translation as well. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. But if you live by the dictates of the flesh, you will die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. You see, Israel never had God within them, like we have, leading us and guiding us into all truths. The Bible says we know the truth and the truth will set us free. But we need to be very careful of that scripture. We can only know truth if we have received the truth, if we have the Word of God living and dwelling on the inside of us. I can't take something from within my spirit if I don't have it there. There is a deposit in my heart. And you don't always just remember things like that. But boy, when you start witnessing and talking to people, when you're serious and you're praying, those things start coming out of your spirit and you experience the Holy Spirit who teaches us all things. Therefore, we know all things. That simply means it. We've got to be very careful of that scripture. I know so many people who've said, oh, I don't need to come to Bible college. I have the Spirit and I know all things. We need Bible college. We need to come to submit, to surrender to teachings of men of God that are powerful in the Holy Spirit, teaching us how to walk in the Lord. I said, yeah, Israel could not enter in. The 40 years, this old generation that had to die in the wilderness, they continued through those 40 years, yielding to the flesh, prevented them from entering in. And I want to tell you, Moses at this stage was 120 years old when they'd gathered on the plains of Moab. And there he stood and he looked at these hard-necked people. He'd had enough. He wanted to go and just lay his head down. But he wasn't destined to just die. He was destined for glory. He's one of the two men that we know appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. What an incredible old man, but he was ready to go home. Paul admonishes the Galatians that they are not to use their liberty as a license to sin. They began in the spirit, but they were now seeking spiritual maturity by following the law. We must be so careful when we quote and try to live the law. You see, nobody is good. There is no goodness around us or in us. The only goodness in us is the Holy Spirit and the life of Jesus that we allow to live in and through us. We need to get this revelation of the law because there are cults now that are going off after the law when Jesus fulfilled the law because we could not do so. He fulfilled the law so that we could live in freedom, but that freedom is not a freedom to sin, but to do the works of righteousness because we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us to do it. Without that power, I'm sure many of you know good people. People that aren't saved, but they're good people. Goodness doesn't get you saved. Receiving Jesus as our Lord and Savior is what gets us saved. Receiving His work, finished work on the cross is what gets us saved. Now, Paul admonishes the Galatians not to use this liberty in Galatians 5:16. I say to you, he's talking to them, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is, and it's very interesting this, because he says here, which is just the opposite of what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite to what our sinful nature wants to do. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. There's a tug of war in our hearts and our spirits all the time, so that we are not free to carry out good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not just under obligation to the law of, you are no longer under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. And it speaks here of the sin of the sinful nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone who lives that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he goes on and he tells us about the fruit of the Spirit, and there is no law against such. What a powerful, powerful verse this is. Now, one of the major growth inhibitors in a Christian's life is when we yield to the flesh. The flesh, in simple terms, is our carnal nature. It's those tendencies of the fallen man. You see, when Adam fell and Eve fell, we all fell with them. We couldn't save ourselves. There was nothing we could do that would pull us up to a situation of restoration with God. Jesus had to come and he had to make a way for us to return to the Father. And I've often said this, this earth is the closest that any child of God will ever get to hell. But this earth is the closest that any sinful person that's not going to heaven, but going, this is the closest they'll ever get to heaven. You see, hell is a reality, whether we like it or not. I've known so many church leaders that dispute whether there is a hell. They dispute whether there's a devil. Well, I hope and I pray that they will never find that out in the negative. These inclinations that we so easily get, that we have submitted to for so long. You see, we were born with a sinful nature. One of the first words a baby learns is no. Don't touch that thing, no. I mean, we've had situations, and I'll never forget this. We had this one little grandson. Oh, he's beautiful today. But man, he was a stubborn little guy. And he would stand and look at you and just turn that knob. And he gets a smack on his hands. And he looks at you and he puts it again and he turns that knob and you smack that hand again. That hand is eventually red and he's still turning that knob and the tears are running down here, but he's turning that knob. What is that? That's the inherent sinful nature of man. And we've got to be so careful about that. I said here, we have to be brought, our spirit man is not our problem. Our sinful nature has to be brought under the control of our spirits. This is only brought about by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We can desire all we like to do good. It is not enough. It is not going to overcome the works of the flesh. I love what Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 21. I find then a law that evil is present in me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind to bring me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man. Now, this is Paul speaking. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Now, what's very interesting about the analogy that he's using here, have they got the aircon on the stage on, Harry? Thank you. Paul compares our carnal lives here to a dead body. Now, during the times there, if you had some really bad criminals, serious crimes, they wouldn't just take them out. They would chain a dead body to their legs. And wherever they walked, they would drag this body along with them. They would continuously be reminded that their death was close. You come into contact with a dead body long enough, it eventually eats you up. And that is how the dead body is that Paul describes here. This dead body, this body of death, that I carry around with me every day. And he goes on, and I said, yeah, we cannot blame the devil for the works of our flesh. And I was talking about a situation where the devil was being blamed for this and the devil was being blamed for that. The only reason that we blame the devil for the things that we can't face ourselves is because we come into a place of selfishness and self-righteousness. Those are things we've got to guard against with all our hearts, because there's a process that we go through if we don't watch out. And I want to read you something that I picked up early this morning. Just listen to this. It speaks here of the wages of sin is death. And he says here, it has been said that sin is first pleasing, it is then easy, it is then delightful, it is then frequent, and finally, it is habitual. The person then becomes a confirmed sinner, then obstinate, then resolved, never to repent, and then he or she is ruined. Sin works you. Sin works us. But righteousness rewards us. God gives us the ability to choose his grace or to choose the wages of sin. I said here, discovering the victory to overcome. How do we do that? The first thing we do is admit that we are wrong. This brings lasting victory, right relationship with Jesus. Only then will we find the strength to overcome these urges that the flesh wants to take us on. We are either on a spiritual journey or we are on a carnal journey. Today, I want you to choose, as I have, what journey are you on? I know a sure way to deal with the flesh is fasting, because I've always said through the years, if I can control my eating, I'll control what I say, I'll control my body, I'll be able to control what I do. Now, I don't know if anybody here is so in control. Can I get an amen from the woman? When those gentlemen see that leg of lamb, do they just have a little piece or the whole half a leg? The other night, we finished the fast. I made a leg of lamb. And when I got home, the two men just about ate up the whole leg of lamb. I thought I still had enough for 2 or 3 days. But you know what? It was the best thing we'd had in 21 days. Anyway, not years, praise God, tense. Can you imagine that? Hunger forces us. Hunger forces us to look for distractions. You know, when you're hungry, you're just thinking food and you want water, you want this, all that cheese, if I can have a piece of steak. I mean, your mind just runs. But you need a distraction. And what distraction do you find? The word and prayer. We run to God when we fast. It's always the best way. And be careful of fasting. Always get advice on it, especially people who go on a walk, no water or food. That's wrong. You must have water. Our bodies need water. Israel's disobedience kept them in the desert. They allowed lust, idolatry, immorality, and constant complaining to withhold them from entering into God's promises. Yes, we all stumble. We all take a dive. But it's God's grace that keeps us in, that keeps it and makes it easier and easier for us to resist. Persistent and prevailing prayer is the key to overcoming the devil's stumbling blocks. Folk, we need to take up the challenge. It says here in 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. I always say the devil is common. He can't do anything to us that isn't common. You think you're going through something nobody else has gone through? I'm sorry, the Bible says he can't do anything to you that isn't common to man. It says here, but God is faithful, who God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear or what you are able to take. But with the temptation, he will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And I said, yeah, the devil can only attack a child of God in the dimension of the five senses. What we see, what we hear, what we eat, what we smell, what we feel, whatever one I left out. That's the dimension. You see, our spirits belong to God. But our mind needs renewal. So when we see things that we shouldn't see, what do? Do we get drawn in or do we walk away? That's the decision where the tug of war between the spirit and the flesh comes in. And I said, yeah, He can only impact us in those. It is through our five senses that our mind is impacted. Therefore, we need to take up the mind of Christ. Resist those evil messages that is being sent to our senses. And we need to yield to the Spirit of God and not give in to the carnal man. Remember that the devil has lost control of our spiritual man. His attacks will be from without and no longer from within. We have to therefore guard our minds by what we allow to catch our attention. The greatest threat and also the greatest challenge to the church today is in the sensual dimension. We are bombarded by media, social networking, and a sick and perverted society. They have what they call the new normal. Well, my God calls evil. And what God calls evil and what we should be calling evil, the world is calling good. What God has called good and right and moral, the world is calling evil. Folk, we need to be careful of what we allow. We need to be careful of our lifestyles. We need to be careful we don't get drawn into the culture of this world. This is what the unknown to Israel, who regularly stepped into the sensual dimension, into the idolatrous trap, into numerous occasions. What happened to them because of continuously doing this? They went into captivity, they were exiled, and eventually they were dispersed across the world. Make a decision today to surrender your carnal, fleshly nature to the Lord. Put on the full armor of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. And how is He going to do that? Through the Word, through our prayers, through our conscience. He's going to speak to our thoughts, and He's going to speak through our circumstances. Folk, it's a new day. It's a new year. It's a new season in our nation. We, as the church, have got the power to impact our families, our communities, our workplaces, and our nation. Can I get an amen? Give the Lord a praise offering.
Amen. Well, I've had my break. Next week, I'm back. But you did well. Give the Lord a praise offering right now. Amen. You know, of course, that you're all very loved. I hope you know that. The Lord loves you, and we love you, and my pastor's team love you, and you're very precious to us. You stand and we bless you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be upon you now and forevermore. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up His countenance over you and be gracious to you. The Lord grant you eternal salvation and peace in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All God's people said, Amen. Amen.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.